number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Normally, we have Brother McBride here on this last, at least 3 years. We had Brother McBride the Sunday before Memorial Day, and our revival was a few weeks ago. And so it's the first Sunday I've preached in a while before Memorial Day. So I'd like to do a little bit of a, what I consider a Memorial Day message. Title of this morning's message is Of Whom the World Was Not Worthy. Of Whom the World Was Not Worthy. Memorial Day is now a federal holiday in the United States. And what Memorial Day, it remembers the people who died while serving in the country's armed forces. We're very thankful for all our veterans, and I know that's why they have Veterans Day, and we like to recognize our veterans. Memorial Day is a day when they remember about those who died actually while serving. Veterans Day celebrates all the U.S. military, and I think it's good to celebrate all the military every day, to be honest with you. Thankful for all the freedoms that they have helped us to have and help keep. And Memorial Day is observed on the last Monday of May. It was not always done that way. It used to be on May 30th. Actually, before that, it originated. And it's hard to tell. I tried to do a little bit of studying. I'm not a historian. I do like history. Some of you probably know more than I do about history. And, but it was done for the longest time on May 30th, as a national recognition. Now, there were some of the southern states that did it on different days as they recognize Memorial Day is, used to be called Decoration Day. It originated the years following the Civil War as people would decorate the graves of the fallen soldiers. It started in the South and it also was done up North too. And then after, all the different things happened, they made it one official holiday and they moved that to the day here this last Monday in the month of May. And it's the ultimate price that someone paid for our freedom while serving their country. And I think it's something that is good to remember. I think sometimes they made it the last Monday so it could be a long weekend. I know some people appreciate that, but other times it lose sight of what it was for and the purpose of it. And I know there's nothing wrong with enjoying Memorial Day. We have picnics most years this weekend. But it is a time to remember those who gave their lives on the battlefield for our country. And when I come to the story and I think about another war that we're in and the spiritual war that we're in, there's many who have given their lives also on the same type of battlefields. And in Hebrews chapter 11, there is a number of verses in there that show that how people, as they live by faith, and then there's a small passage at the end talking about those who are living by faith, but it costs them their lives. And as many times, hopefully, the reason why someone would have a war, and like I said, originally, it began with the Civil War, and it began even with the South to remember those that had lost their victims. People were fighting for what they believed was right. They believe was truth. And many times, even History Day is trying to misconstrue what truth is and what people really truly fought for. And we got to remember we're careful with that. And they went back and they began to make Memorial Day a memory of everyone who fought from back since America has been. So I don't know if the word celebrate is the right word, but we remember what everyone's done over the many years and the many wars and the many times when people have lost their lives just trying to serve and protect their country. Very thankful for those who served in our military. And as we remember these people today, those who have, these fallen heroes that have died on the war fields across not only in our nation, but also around the world, just protecting our freedom. It brings me to some verses here, and I think it's a good way to tie in and also help us to understand the seriousness of our spiritual battle. There's many, many battles that were fought for many good reasons across in our country's name. And the spiritual battle we have, I believe, is just as real as the battles that were fought to save our freedom, the spiritual battles that we face every day in order to encourage us in our Christian walk and help other people know Jesus Christ. So as you come, most people know Hebrews chapter number 11. Most people know it as, you know, it's the hall of faith. And you see by faith, by faith, by faith. And you look here in verse number four, by faith, Abel offered, and talking about the sacrifice, doing the more excellent sacrifice. Verse number 5, by faith, Enoch. Verse number 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Verse number 7, by faith, Noah. Verse number 8, by faith, Abraham. Verse number 9, it talked about by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. Verse number 10, it says, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So Abraham was looking for the city, the promise that God had given him. Now go ahead and go down to verse number 13. It gives a little bit more of a description here. These all died in faith. Now, we know the stories that many of them died of natural causes. Not like they died on a battlefield. We're going to talk about that in a little while. But they died, it says here, in faith, not having received the promises. They had not received the promises that God had given them. As many times we look for the promises, look for the eternal life, look for the heaven, but have received the promises, but having seen them afar off, they saw that they were coming, they trusted in God, they had faith in God, and were persuaded of them. Faith is really an action. It is believing. But our faith will affect our works. Our faith will affect what we do. And we're persuaded of them, and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And I keep on going. Verse 14, it says, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Many times the reason why the battles have been fought in our history is because they were seeking a country, a better country. They were seeking for freedom, and they were seeking for the ability to live how they believe that they should be able to live. Verse 15, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Verse 16, the Bible says, but now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. So even though they had not received the promises yet, they were still faithful. They embraced them, and they lived their lives by faith, believing that God was going to make these things happen. Go down to verse number 32. Verse 32, there's a lot more by faiths there. You see, there is the stories that we're skipping over, like the Rahabs and the walls of Jericho and the Moses' stories and the Jacob story and the Isaac. In verse number 32, he comes to the spot and he says, and what shall I say more? So the man was writing here, and Paul, I believe it's Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, is writing this out, and he says, look, I could say a lot more. And what shall I say more? I could keep on and be here, you know, day after day, just writing all the things and the people who live by faith and how God blessed them. But he kind of ties it up. It's sort of like a preacher that goes on and on and on. You wish that he would just kind of tie it up sometimes. And in verse number 32, he's saying, what shall I say more? For the time would fail to me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and of Samuel and of the prophets. And so he speaks here of people that had great victories, sometimes in supernatural ways. We think of the story of Gideon. Remember how he had those 300 men and how God helped him there. And we think of Barak, and we think of Samson, and we think of Jephthah and David and Samuel. These are people that God worked miracles out because they believed. Who through faith, now listen to some of the things God allowed them to do, who through faith subdued kingdoms. And we can think about David and some of the kingdoms he was able to capture. And it keeps on going, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of the lions. We think of that when we think of Daniel and how the lions' mouths are stopped. Quenched the violence of fire. We think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of the weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And it is referring there to how many times the judges, so even though they were under oppression, that they were able to turn the flight of those that were fighting against them. Women received their dead raised to life again. And we know the story of the widow who received her son, and I believe other different examples in the Bible. We see here in these verses, 32 through 35, you think about how God did some amazing things. And you notice that these people are living by faith. And that's point number one, is the examples of how God worked miracles because of these people's faith. And we love stories like that. We love the stories when we hear about Daniel being able to be in the lions and all that entire night and not be eaten. We love to hear the stories about the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We love hearing the stories about Samson and how he was able to pull the whole temple apart. We love to hear the stories how God used Jephthah and how God used Barak and how God used Gideon and his men. But we come to another spot. This is point number two. Example how God did not always intervene with a miracle. And when you come to the next section, it's halfway through verse number 35. It said, and others. And this word others is talking about those who God chose not to intervene with a miraculous way, but gave their lives for the cause of Christ. And that humbles me. Every time when I come to Memorial Day, I think about this passage of scripture and I think about this group of people. And I know it's an American, whatever you want to call it, holiday or observance. And I think it's a good thing. But it reminds me of those that have gone before us in a spiritual battle and who have given their lives also. Let's look what it says here. And others. And that's how they're characterized. You know, verses earlier, all the way up to verse number 35, they're naming people right and left. They're naming the Josephs and they're naming the Isaacs and they're naming this and they're naming that. But verse number 35, you come and others. You know, our Christian life is filled with people. We'll never know their name till they get to heaven. People who served and served faithfully over the years, the countless martyrs who have given their lives over and over and over. I'm sorry, of course they only give their lives once, but they have people who have given their lives for the cause of Christ. And this reminds me and it humbles me and it makes me wonder, how serious do I take my faith? It's really cool to hear about these other stories, but when we consider people who did this, it humbles me and say that I want to be faithful, no matter what the situation is. Let's look here. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. So there were people here who were tortured, and you can go back and you can read in history, Christians who died for their faith, they were tortured for the faith, telling them all they would have to do is recant, and they would be able to live. And, you know, there's many, many stories of that. But they chose. It says here, and it says, not accepting deliverance. They stood by their faith. They died as a martyr. You say, what's a better resurrection? Well, I think anyone who has died as a martyr for the cause of Christ will receive a crown. And that's what I think is referring to as the better resurrection there. Verse 36, and it says, and others had trial of cruel mockings. We've heard stories of that. We can read Bible stories of that. We even remember how the disciples were, they were mocked and they went through trials and scourgings, how they were beaten. Yea, moreover, of bonds and of imprisonment, they were stoned. I think of Stephen. You know, the ones in the beginning chapter have more faith than the ones in the second half of the chapter. If you go back and you read Stephen, I would say no. God chose to use them in another way. They had truly put their faith in God, but there's no guarantee of comfort. There's no guarantee of security. And when we're going through hardships and trials, sometimes we ask God and say, why in the world is this happening? But then we go to this passage of scriptures and it says, they were stoned. They were sawn asunder. And what does that mean? That means they were cut in half. And you say, where do you find that in the Bible? Well, tradition tells us, once again, it's tradition, Isaiah. That's what happened to Isaiah when he died. They were tempted, slain with the sword. I find it kind of interesting here in verse 37, they were slain with the sword. But up in the verses earlier, it talks about how they didn't have the sword. They were able to stop the violence. Verse number 34, escaped the edge of the sword. So one man that was living in faith escaped the edge of the sword. And we can think of Peter, right? Wasn't Peter there and Peter was in jail? They had killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And they had beheaded him and they're coming for Peter. They put him in jail and he escaped the edge of the sword, but James didn't. Does that mean that Peter had more faith than James? You keep on going. These men, he says, slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. So they come to the spot and they say, this is an example of people who the world is not worthy of. And sometimes I think of the freedoms that others have bought with their blood. And I think, man, I'm not worthy of that. And I think here that what they're saying is those that have gone through this suffering, the world was not worthy of them. World was not worthy of seeing this testimony. Those who had put those other people to death and they had killed them for the cause of Christ, they weren't worthy of them. But God allowed them to go through it to be a testimony so that others could see. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these having obtained a good report through faith. See, the expression is still there. It's through faith that they attained this report. It's a good report. It wasn't because they were lacking of faith. They were tortured. They were mocked. They were scourged. All this misery is received and done through faith. You say, Pastor, how does that help you? It helps me in realizing that life is not always going to be easy. There are times when God will intervene with a miraculous way, like in the stories you see up to verse number 35, you're surprised, you're amazed. Sarah gets to have a child at 90. You know, you're amazed by, you know, what Abel went through and what Noah went through. And you're like, wow, these are great. Give me more of this. Then you come to this smaller passage. And as a reminder, that's not always how God works. There's been many who have gone before us, who has given their lives. And we think of the disciples, all except for maybe one, I mean, maybe even that one gave their life for the cause of Christ. And continue on, it says, and through faith received not the promise. They didn't get it, but they are going to receive it. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should be made perfect. You know, someday there will be, it will be made perfect when we're all together. We come to verse number 12, chapter number 12. We see the examples of how God works through a miraculous way, and we see the example of how sometimes God allows sufferings to happen. All these things happen. They were approved by faith, shown and demonstrated by faith, but God's resting of approval was upon them. Their miseries and their sufferings they endured, they were not diminished because of their faith. They did it because they believed and trusted. Doesn't mean that a suffering Christian has a lack of faith. It means that a suffering Christian, many times, God wants to use to show the world what it means to live for Him. This is the last point, our ultimate example. And you look at chapter 12 and verses number 1 and 2. It says, wherefore? So you see chapter number 11, you read all these great, great examples, and then you get to these verses where it's more subdued and more humbled, and you think, man, there were people who were stoned, there were people who were sawn asunder, there was people who were burned to death, there were people who, you know, all these different things. So what am I supposed to do with all that information? And he gives us some advice here. He gives us the great example. He said, wherefore? Seeing you all, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Different people think there's different meanings behind that. It gives the impression that because of the connection of wherefore, that these saints that have gone on before us, who have ran this race, who have done this with us, they are watching us, and we're surrounded by this great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so does easily beset us. So he's saying here, since you see this and you see all this chapter number 11, you see all this hall of faith, and then you come to these verses where there was men and women and children who gave their lives for the cause of Christ. Now, what are we supposed to do with it? We're supposed to run a race. We're supposed to run it with, and the Bible says, and run with patience the race that's set before us. That God has given us each a race to run, that we need to run it with patience, and we need to lay aside that weight, we need to lay aside that sin, and be serious about this race, and do this race, run the race that God's given us, just like God has given this race to so many before us, and He says, here's your race, this is what I want you to do, this is what I want you to accomplish, this is what I have planned for you in your life. Now run your race. Now do it with patience. Don't let weights slow you down. Don't let sin slow you down. Be serious about this. Then you come to verse number 2, and he gives us looking unto Jesus. Why do we need to look unto Jesus? It's because he's the author and finisher of our faith. Remember, this has all been done by faith. These miracles and miraculous things that was done in chapter number 11, all by faith. This, the times when when they were beaten, the times when they were scourged, the times that they were sawn asunder, the times that they were slain by the sword, the signs that they guess were in the sheep's coats and the goatskins, it was all by faith. It was through faith. Even though they're not named, it was others. Now, let's run a race. Well, how do you run this race? You lay aside the weights. There is no sin worth, no sin worth messing up our fellowship with God. There just isn't. There is just not, there's nothing that could experience so good and do that would stop my fellowship with God. There's really nothing worth us slowing down in this race. Verse number 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I want you to see here, his faith. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He demonstrated that he had a road to go. He had a race to run. He demonstrated that his race is that he was going to do it. Before the foundations of the world, the decision was made that Jesus Christ was going to die for the sins of mankind. You think about it, he knew all about the beatings, he knew all about the spitting, he knew all about the cross, the earth that planted that tree that he was going to die on someday. He knew about it. And he had faith to believe that this was the right way. You see his focus. He endured, it says, despising the shame. He endured the cross. He didn't let something stop him from his focus. And then you see his finish. He is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That was his future. That was what he was planned for. That was where his place was. And that's someday we're looking forward to. It's the promise. You go back and it says that Abraham, he was looking for a city who had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. He's looking for that city. He's looking for the new earth. He knows that someday that it's going to be a better city. Verse 14 in chapter 11, that they such things declare plainly that they seek a country and that they desire a better country in verse 16. All these different things are saying these are the promises that are given. And yes, sometimes God steps in miraculously and does the supernatural. But then there's times when he just allows us to go through certain things to demonstrate his honor and his glory that he'll receive. And that's when he says, hey, keep your focus on Jesus. Look at his faith. Look at his focus. Look at his finish. So what are some things that this has taught me? What are some things that this passage of scripture has taught me? First thing, it's taught me that there are some things worth dying for. That, I mean, just when we think about Memorial Day and we think about all those who have died on the battlefields, I'm hoping and praying that those men and those even ladies that gave their lives, they believed in what they were fighting for. And I think there are things that are worth dying for. Jesus Christ looked at us and saw us as a sinful people and says, you know what? They're worth dying for. But God commended his love toward us that while we are sinners, Christ died for us. Then I think about there's things worth dying for. You say, okay, Pastor, I'm willing to die. If God asked me to be a martyr today, if someone came into this room with machine guns and they were covered with whatever and they said, you know, die or recant Christ, I'd be willing. Okay, great. There are some things worth dying for. But there's also some things worth living for too. Because I think there's many people in this room who would die for the cause of Christ, but they struggle with living day by day for him. I'm willing to be a martyr. Well, go read your Bible. I can't do that. Go pray. That's hard. Go tell somebody else about Jesus. But I'm willing to be a... Yeah, there are some things worth dying for. But there's some things that are worth living for too. Running this race is willing to set aside that weight. Maybe it's not even a sin, but I know that that TV or that internet or that whatever it is, the recreational things or even physical things, that there are weights in our lives. I'm willing to set that aside because there's something more important than just letting that stuff hold me back. Also, it told me that whether or not things work out the way we plan, we can still trust them. Because I read the story and lots of times it didn't work out for Abel the way he expected, did it? No. And I read sometimes how many a times, even though we see the miracles that came inside, it took Abraham 100 years, didn't it? Of going and wondering and, you know, questioning, I'm sure. And it took the Josephs of this world. It talked about how by faith he talked about them taking the bones with him. His life didn't work out the way he would have planned, but by faith he did that. I want to encourage you today, yes, sometimes God intervenes in the miracles and we like to testify about it and we get excited and we rejoice and we say, look, this is what God can do. Yes, he can. But there's other times when God just doesn't intervene. Does it mean where our faith is lacking? Not always. So there's a reason why. There's a reason why sometimes bad things happen to good people. But keep your eye on that ultimate example. The author and finisher of our faith. He endured the cross. Now he sat down. Verse number 3 in chapter number 12 said, for consider him that endured such contradictions. He says, look, you keep your eyes focused on him in the race and you consider that what he endured, such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You know, when you're running a race, you can become tired, you can become faint. I was telling the men this morning, we talked a little bit about weights in our Sunday school class. You know, sometimes I get tired when I'm trying to exercise. It just happens. I become faint. And, you know, he says, it's going to happen if you don't keep your eyes focused on Jesus. You read these stories, you see these people, and you sometimes disconnect from them and says, that doesn't apply to me. That doesn't work for me. Why am I listening to this? Why is this here? It's because they went through it. They experienced it. We can do the same if we keep our eyes focused on him. Because there are some things worth living for. There are some things worth dying for. The soul of a man, so precious. This morning, if you're here and do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he loved you so much that he came to this world to die for your sins because he thought you were worthy of it. He says, the world was not worthy. I'm not worthy of his grace. I'm not worthy of his mercy. But you know what? Because he died for me, I can be saved. I can have a way to heaven. This morning, have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins so you could go to heaven. He saw you. He loved you. He saw the fact that you were a sinner, and he says, for all have sinned. We're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners, and because sin, there is a penalty for our sin, and because that penalty for sin is death, he's offering us something to save us, which is eternal life. How do you get it? It's by confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart. If you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, let me encourage you, Jesus Christ died for you so you can do that. You know, it discourages me sometimes when I see people abuse liberties. I think it probably discourages you sometimes how some people say, well, I have this right and I have this freedom, and they go do things that are contrary to what the America, why all those people died. It's bone-chilling sometimes, you know, burning flags, tearing down monuments, saying, I have this right and this, that, and that. It's discouraging sometimes because they abuse the liberties that they have received. And when I think about it and think about our great nation and how I want to be a good citizen and try to help America be the best it can be, and then I think about what Jesus Christ did for the mankind's spiritual needs, man, I should not take that for advantage either. I should be willing to tell others. I should be willing to tell. There's something worth living for. There's something even worth giving my life for. This morning, how serious is your Christian faith? I read this story and I see great stories of God miraculous intervening, and we read those stories and we're excited about them. But I don't want to forget about the countless others. And that's the word they use, others, who gave their life for the cause of Christ. Amen. And then I see Christ, who showed us by example, by willingly giving his life. He never did anything wrong, but he gave his life for us. There are some things worth living for. There are some things worth dying for. And as we think about Memorial Day, and we are honored and humbled by those that gave their lives for us, it reminds me of the many, many who've given their lives so that others can know. Let's give of ourselves so that others can know too. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.